So I was up in Hartford, and they played a piece, and I was supposed to come out on stage, and they were going to ask me a few questions. And so kind of in my mind, I was thinking, you know, well, what are they going to ask me? Maybe they're going to ask me, you know, something about how long you've been playing piano or what your musical interests are. So I was kind of prepping in my own mind for that type of a question. And so I got out there on stage in front of however many hundred people there was there. And the conductor puts his microphone in front of my face and he says, "So what do you do besides music?" And he stuck that out, and I was like, and I was thinking, I was like, what do I do? And honestly, the only thing that could come to my mind was, well, I do laundry. And I was like, I'm not going to say that in front of 200 people that I spend most of my time other than musical pursuits doing laundry, coming from a large family. But that was honestly what I could think of. So I mumbled some sort of non-coherent response and made it through. But anyway, so yes, in addition to my other list of things that I do laundry. Anyways, turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 1. I want to preach this morning on the topic of encouragement and of pressing on for Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 1. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find that there is really recorded the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. And in this opening chapter, as Moses is beginning to recount the history of Israel, he's starting to look back on all these 40 years that they have been wandering in the wilderness. And sometimes we tend to kind of discount those years that were spent in the wilderness as wasted years. But someone made the observation and said throughout those years, God was a faithful teacher. And he was a faithful God, and he was someone who led them in a way during those years. And someone also put it this way, in the first four books of the Pentateuch, God is choosing Israel. And now, as we enter the book of Deuteronomy, he's really wanting them to choose him back, to love him and to pursue him with their lives. And so I was reading through this passage recently, and there was a couple of things that really stuck out to me and encouraged me relating to just on my Christian walk into our walk with the Lord. But let's pray and then let's look into the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for this opportunity that we have to spend some time looking into your Word. Lord, I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my words. Help me to say things that will be a blessing and an encouragement to just to be profitable for our hearing and to help us to be better servants of you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read a couple of verses here, starting at verse 21 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. So Deuteronomy 1, starting at verse 21, said, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again, by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of the tribe, and they turned and went into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it again, down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there." So we see here in this passage, as Moses is thinking back to what happened many years ago, he's recounting how they had the opportunity to go and to follow after the Lord. And there was a few men that were faithful, that believed God was capable of delivering the land into their hands, of giving them the victory. But there was quite a few men that did not believe. And those men had a negative influence on everyone else because of their fear, because of their disobedience. They discouraged the rest of the people. And they stopped the people. They presented facts that were maybe partially true, but they left out the element that God would be with them to give them the victory over those challenges that they were going to face. Just to give us a complete picture of the story here, let's flip back to Numbers chapter 14 and read a couple of verses just to see what actually happened, what was said back then. So Numbers chapter 14, starting at verses 1 and 3. Really, one of the things that happens is Moses is looking back on the history and kind of remembering why the children of Israel doubted, why these men were able to discourage their fellow Israelites, is one that they really believed a lie. They believed a lie. And so read verses 1 through 3 of Numbers chapter 14. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." This is after the men had come back from the land, and they're describing what they had seen in the land. They're describing the giants. They're describing all the difficulties that are going to happen. And so the congregation lifts up their voice and they cry, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And so the people were discouraged because they looked at just the human possibility. They looked at the challenges that they were going to face from a human perspective. And Moses, as we look at the beginning of Deuteronomy, is remembering how these people believed a lie, how they were discouraged because of what they considered to be insurmountable challenges that they were going to face. He remembers that. He also remembers a couple other things as we look down to verse 22 of Numbers chapter 14. He really remembers how they scorned the glory of God and how they rejected the glory of God. Look at verse number 22 and 23. It says, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." Think about that. God is giving these people who doubted a very swift rebuke, because he's saying, these people have seen my glory. They have witnessed my miracles. They have seen my hand at work in their lives, guiding them through the whole 40 years spent in the wilderness, and yet they're rejecting it. They're turning away and they're saying, for some reason, God is not capable of performing another miracle. For some reason, God does not have the power to accomplish what he said he's going to accomplish in their lives. And so they scorned the glory of God. And all that brought together is that they discouraged the people. They influenced other people to stop serving God. They influenced other people to be distracted from the goal of serving God. The task that God may give us to do might seem overwhelming. It might seem like we're facing a battle that no one else understands, or that no one else can share that burden, or that no one else cares about. But we have to remember that there is a reason to carry on for Christ. There is a reason to keep going forward for Christ. And it's because through him, we will win the victory. So Moses, as we start Deuteronomy, is looking back on all these negative things that have happened. But then I want to draw your attention down to verse 38 in Deuteronomy chapter 1. So back in Deuteronomy, verse number 38. The Bible says, "But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit the land." And as I was reading that the other day, it really just caught my attention that God's instruction to Moses was to go to Joshua, who was going to have the responsibility of leading the children of Israel, of claiming that promise, of going into the land of promise. And he said, encourage him, help him, support him, give to him the knowledge and the encouragement and the guidance that will help him be successful in serving the Lord. It reminds me of a verse in the New Testament, Philippians 3:14, which says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Why is it that we press toward a mark? Why is it that Moses wanted to encourage Joshua? It's not just for a plaque on the wall or for an article in the paper or for a mention in front of a crowd of people. It's not for popularity or likes and dislikes on social media type of thing. But it's for the high calling of Christ. It's for that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so Moses' instruction from the Lord was to encourage him. I wrote down a couple things. Never be ashamed of performing a small task if it's what you know the Lord has called you to do. And the great things that we can accomplish for the Lord might seem small in the eyes of man, but when they are accomplished with faithfulness and humility, they will bring great glory to God. So how did Moses encourage Joshua? How did Moses fulfill that instruction that the Lord had given him to encourage Joshua, to help set up Joshua to be successful in the tasks that he was going to be doing? Well, first of all, he reminded him of the truth that was found in God's Word. He reminded him of the truth that was found in God's Word. We can think about that word truth and realize that in today's society there are many definitions that are used for the word truth. There are many ways that people describe truth, and there are many concepts regarding truth. Really, in our world, that concept of absolute truth is argued against. And the Christian who maintains that there is something such as truth is ridiculed. It was funny this week, just in a joking manner, I was talking with a couple of my students, and we were talking about something 2 + 2 and equaling 4. And they're like, "Well, you do know that there are multiple answers for that question." In a joking manner, not serious, but it's true that in our society, people have rejected the idea of truth. And so something as seemingly simple as 2 + 2 = 4 now becomes something that we can change and we can define as being differently. So we have to remember that there is such a thing as truth. And truth is not just a political issue. It is not just something that we deal with in terms of our community and our interaction with others. It is an issue that impacts all of life and all of eternity. If people do not understand the truth that is presented in the Bible, it will impact their lives for all of eternity. I remember a few years ago, I was somewhere and I was handing out a gospel tract to some gentleman. He didn't really have much interest in talking to me, but I asked him some question about, you know, "Do you know for certain where you're going to go to when you die?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I know exactly where I'm going to go." And I said, "Oh, where's that going to be?" And he said, "I'm going to go to hell because I've been a bad person." And he didn't have any interest in understanding what the Bible said about hell, about the horrors of it, about the reality of it, about the torture of it. To him, he had a made up concept of what hell was like. And he embraced that. To him, that was truth. And to him, it was no big deal that he was going to spend eternity in hell because he had concocted his own idea of what truth was. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. What God has presented to us in the Word of God is true. There is no way that we can argue against it. There is no way that we can change it. We have to face that reality of exactly what is true. So Moses begins to encourage Joshua by reminding him of the truth that is found in the Word of God. Let's go to the end of the book of Deuteronomy and look at chapter number 31, because this is where we actually have recorded for us the words that Moses is speaking to Joshua. So Deuteronomy chapter 31, and let me read verses 1 through 6 as Moses starts to speak to the children of Israel and to Joshua. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so as Moses begins to encourage Joshua, he's reminding him of the things that God has done in the past. And he's reminding him that as he goes forward to serve the Lord and to accomplish the things that God would have him to accomplish, the promise is that God will be with him, that he will not fail them, that he will not forsake them. And so these are some of the truths that Moses emphasizes as he's seeking to encourage Joshua. We have to remember that we obey God not just for the outcome that we deem is profitable, but we obey God to accomplish the things that he has planned. And as we obey him, we will receive the blessing. In fact, we find great joy and we find great blessing as we follow in obedience. I was thinking about it because a few years ago was when my wife Angela and I met, and it was 2014, 2015 when we started getting to know each other. And sometimes, you know, the Lord prompts you to do things that you don't exactly understand, and you just have to kind of step forward in faith and do what the Lord wants you to do. So we had been getting to know each other for maybe a year and a half, I think. And so we were at the point where we were serious and we were thinking about getting engaged. And in my mind, I was thinking that, you know, well, probably around Christmas time would be a great time to get engaged and actually ask her to marry me. And so my family and I had gone up to Canada to visit her family and her church in October. And during our visit that time, we went out and, you know, we were talking about it and all. And so I was still thinking in my head, okay, you know, we'll get engaged in December. Now, she didn't know this, but that was just what was in my head. I didn't have a ring. It wasn't all prepared and stuff. So that weekend that we had been there, my dad talked to me and he was like, you know, I really think that, you know, you should just ask her to marry you. You know, don't wait, don't play any games, just ask her. And so I said, you know, well, okay, I can do that, but I don't have a ring, I'm not prepared, you know, all these different question marks that my little checklist wasn't checked off on. And so I was, you know, kind of, I was fearful about it a little bit, as most guys are, but I just prayed about it, and I said, I really feel like this is something that the Lord wants me to do this particular weekend. And so I went and I talked with her dad, and he gave his blessing. And so I ended up getting a ring that was going to be a temporary ring, a Walmart ring, so that we could get something to tie this over till I could actually get a ring. And I asked her to marry me. Well, the funny thing was, not funny thing, but the interesting thing, the way that the Lord worked it out was that her father had been struggling with cancer for many, many years. And so he had been in and out of treatments, feeling in the hospital, feeling better, and really just all this back and forth. So that one particular weekend, or that month that we were up there around that time period, was when he was in a time period where he was feeling great. And he was able to enjoy everything, and so he saw us get engaged, and he was thrilled and happy about that. Well, about a month later was when his health took a turn for the worse, and he ended up passing away and going home to be with the Lord. And that situation was a reminder to me that sometimes God prompts us to do something, to step forward in faith, and we might not understand why. But looking back on it, I believe that God orchestrated all those details for that one particular weekend so that we could all rejoice as a family together, and he could be a special part of that, and we would have no regrets had I waited till Christmas time when it was in my mind to do it. And so the truth of God's word is that when we obey him, he will bless us. The truth of God's word is that when we give him the priority, or make him the priority in our lives, we will have no regrets. We may follow in obedience and others will mock us. They may reject us. They may take advantage of us. But God's blessing will rest upon us if we follow in obedience. And that is the truth from God's word. It is a small sacrifice. Our sacrifice is small compared to the sacrifice that Christ has made on our behalf. And so Moses began to encourage him by reminding him of the truth that's found in his word, at God's word. Look for a moment just over at Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. It's the only psalm that is recorded that Moses wrote. And as I was reading through this, thinking about some of the things that Moses may have said to Joshua as a way of encouraging him of God's truth. It starts out verse 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Think about Joshua's perspective as he was anticipating leading this nation into the promised land. He knew the challenges that were ahead of him. He knew the difficulties that he would face. He knew the rebellious attitudes of the people, their tendency to doubt, to be discouraged. And yet Moses here, imagine him saying, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. God is an everlasting God. God is an eternal God. God is a enduring God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These are the types of truths that God, that Moses could have reminded Joshua of. Maybe Moses reminded Joshua that God's timetable is different than our timetable. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 90. It said, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. God's timetable does not match our timetable. Maybe Moses reminded Joshua of God's justice and mercy in verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 90. It says, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. God will bring the wicked to justice, and at the same time, God operates from a heart of mercy that looks at people and desires to give them the opportunity to repent and to restore that broken relationship. Maybe Moses encouraged and reminded Joshua of God's wisdom to know the difference of when justice needs to be applied and when mercy needs to be applied. Look at verse 13. It says, "Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants." Maybe Moses reminded Joshua of the truth of God's promise of satisfaction, that He will satisfy our needs and that He will meet our needs according to His will. In verse 14 it says, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days." These might have been some of the truths that Moses took the opportunity to encourage Joshua on. And so Moses spends his time encouraging him by reminding him of God's truth. Dwelling upon God's truth means freedom from worry and fear. If we dwell on God's truth, we will be free of worry and fear. Number two, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 32. So Moses begins by reminding Joshua of God's truth. Secondly, Moses begins by reminding him, or Joshua, of the testimony of God's working. Testimony of God's working. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. If we look in verses 4 and 5, verse 4 says, "And the Lord shall do unto them as He did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom He destroyed." Not only do we have the testimony of what God did for the faithful, but we have the testimony of what God did for those who had rejected the Lord and for those who were rebelling against Him, that God destroyed the wicked. I sometimes think about it when it comes to testimony. Do we have a praise of something that we can say always on our lips, ready to share some way that God is working in our lives? And I've been ashamed sometimes when someone says, someone will say to me, "Do you have a praise or what's God been doing in your life?" And I stand there and say, "I can't think of anything." And it's not because God is not working in my life, but it's because I'm not paying attention to the things that God is doing in my life, and I'm not remembering them so that I can share that word of testimony when someone asks me. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. Let's jump down a couple verses here. "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." So Moses is reminding Joshua of the testimony of God's working in their lives. There was evidence in the life of the children of Israel that God was with them. They had a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was a testimony to the fact that God was with them. And we may not have a literal cloud over our head, and we might not have a literal pillar of fire over our head each and every day, but if we pay attention, we will know that God is with us. And we will have a testimony to share that says, God is working in my life, God is directing my footsteps, God is showing me what to do, and God is ultimately working things out to bring Himself glory through my life. And so there was evidence of God's presence with them. As you look back on the history of the children of Israel, we saw that the wicked had been defeated by God. That was referenced in verse 4, where Moses says that, "And the Lord shall do unto them as He did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites." These were kings that had no desire to honor the Lord, and yet God accomplished His will by destroying them. And so Moses is reminding Joshua of the testimony of his working. Even during the 40 years in the wilderness, there was evidence that God was with them and God was providing for them. During those wanderings in the wilderness, they faced many challenges. But through those challenges, God provided them food. He provided them sustenance. He provided them clothing. He provided them everything that they needed to get through those 40 years of punishment in the wilderness. And like I said before, sometimes we tend to think of a time in the wilderness as being a time that God had forsaken them. God hadn't forsaken them while they were in the wilderness. He knew exactly where they were, and He was still continuing to protect them and to accomplish His purposes in their life, even while He was punishing them for their unbelief. The wanderings in the wilderness remind us of the different lessons that they learned, of their need to look to God, of their need to trust Him. And the wanderings in the wilderness remind us of the vision that they had of where they were going, that they were looking ahead to that better place, to that promised land, of that time when God was going to fulfill His word. Interestingly enough, it kind of caught my eye that verse 19 of Deuteronomy 31 talks about a song that Moses was going to write that would be used to remind the children of Israel of all the things that God has done. Look at verse 19. It says, "Now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land, which I swear unto their fathers that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed in fat, then they will turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant." And the song, which is recorded for us in Deuteronomy 32, is a recount. It's a reminder of all the things that God has done in their lives. And despite all of that, the children of Israel would turn away from the Lord and from the path that He would have them to do. But our challenge is to remember those testimonies, of remembering the things that God has done in our life, but let that impact us. Let that impact our decisions. Let that change the way that we are doing things. God protects us even when we don't know it, even when we don't realize it. I actually just got a text from a friend yesterday. He was from West Virginia, and he had been up in Connecticut visiting some people. He was staying with my family for a couple days. And Friday night, we went over to visit him. And so he was saying how he had noticed this sound when he was driving in his car. It was kind of this clicking sound. And so he asked my brother, who's knowledgeable about cars, to kind of take a look at it. So they looked at it, and they didn't really find anything apparently wrong. It wouldn't always make the sound. And so initially we thought, well, maybe it's a stone stuck in the tire, because that will occasionally click as you're driving along. And so they checked it over carefully, and they didn't find any stones in the tire. They drove it around, and it didn't really appear to be making any noise. And so they assumed, well, we can't really find the problem. We can't really hear anything right now. Maybe it's okay. So he left yesterday morning to drive back to West Virginia, and he was probably past middle of Pennsylvania somewhere. And so he stopped at a gas station, and he looked at his tire, and when he looked at his tire, he realized that one of the lug nut bolts was actually sheared off. The bolt had come off. And so they took some time to inspect it further, and what had happened was that most of the lug nuts on one of his tires had begun to loosen up. So the clicking sound was actually, as he was driving, that wheel was wobbling back and forth. And it was, as it continued to wobble, it would break off that bolt finally. And so he was praising the Lord because he had said, had that bolt broken when I was driving down the interstate at 70 miles an hour, the situation would have been much, 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 much different than had it when he was able to discover it at a stop at a gas station. And so it was a reminder to me that God protects us even when we don't know what's going on. That the testimony of God's working is to look back on yesterday in this past week and 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago and say, how has God led me over this past couple of weeks? How has God been working in my life? And to rejoice in the things that God has done in our lives. So we can rejoice, we can be reminded of the testimony of God that is working in our lives. We may be burdened for things. We may be burdened for our family. We may be burdened for our friends, for our nation, for our city, for a mission field. But as we're burdened for those things, we need to remember that God is working in our lives and in those situations. And we just need to commit our life to Him. A song that was sung at our wedding says these lyrics. There are moments on our journey following the Lord when God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. When our path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to Him. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father. When the answer goes beyond what you can see, bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven, and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. There will be times when we don't understand what God is doing, but we have to be reminded of the testimony of how God works, of what God has done in the past, and of what God will do in the future. Thirdly and last, Moses reminds Joshua of the challenge that he will face and the triumph that he is promised. Look back at Deuteronomy chapter 1. I know we're kind of flipping around here, but Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 39. It says, moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. And so God's promise was that these young people who were born that did not have knowledge or no knowledge between good and evil at the time, they were young, they didn't understand. He was going to bring it all to pass. By God's power, Joshua would accomplish the task of taking the land by faith. He goes on in the next couple of verses to warn them and to say, it's not going to be you doing something in your own strength that's going to accomplish it. It's going to be you doing something in the strength of the Lord. That is what's going to enable you to take the victory. God's will can only be done in His power. The hymn writer put it this way, from victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. If we think about the things that will discourage us, and the things that will encourage us to follow God, lies will discourage us, but truth will encourage. Pride will discourage us, but humility will encourage. Gossip will discourage us, but a wise tongue will encourage us. And God is the one who gives us, He sets before us the reality of the challenge that we will face, but He also sets before us the triumph that is promised if we go in the strength of the Lord. There are people that God will give you the instruction and the opportunity to encourage. If we think about Moses, Moses was given that instruction to encourage Joshua. And Joshua was encouraged and then was able to take that truth and pass it on to someone else. So God gives us different people, different opportunities to both be encouraged and to encourage. And I challenge you to grab a hold of those reins and to be both of those, to be encouraged by the Word of God and take the time to encourage others. Who might God have for you to encourage today? Maybe it's a preacher. Maybe it's a missionary. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend, a parent, a government leader. Whoever it is, we can take that instruction, just like Moses did, and we can take that opportunity to encourage them in the Word by reminding them of the truth of God's Word, by reminding them of the testimony that God has worked in our lives, and reminding them also of the triumph that will come as we follow God. It's a challenge for us today to follow God in that way, to be encouraged based on what He's done, and to both encourage others. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning.